This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, a hump day. We still have so much to come on the show. Brandon Darby's coming up a half hour from now to do cartel stuff. I haven't talked to Darby in forever. There's all kinds of things going on. First, though, I want to touch on just a couple things really quickly before I pay J.D. Vance a compliment, get to some emails, get to a couple other things. First, communists lie about everything all the time. We've talked about it a million times. They lie about everything all the time. And there are significant real-world consequences to that. The consequences to the communists lying about everything all the time is you and I, people who know the truth, who seek the truth, we have to share a society with people who are insane. There's no other way to describe it. If I tell you water isn't wet, the sky isn't blue, gravity isn't real, you would tell me I'm insane. When you will loudly proclaim things that aren't true, verifiable facts, if you deny them all the time, you're crazy. And these people vote with us. They live with us. They drive with us. They govern us in so many ways. They're insane. Do you want an example? This is from the Skeptic Research Center team. They did a bunch of polling, and I'm not going to go over the graph or something like that, but I'll read it to you verbatim. Very liberal Americans believe 11% of deported illegal immigrants have a criminal conviction since coming to the country. Do you know what the real answer is? 37%. Because communists are lied to by every one of their politicians, by every media outlet. I mean, everything from the New York Times to CNN to Washington Post, they're lied to from everyone they rely on at all times. They live in a world that is not real. You and I can mock the view all day long, but the truth is, and I am sorry to say it, the view is important. Because women sit at home and they watch this and they believe it. It's bonkers. It's crazy. Those ladies are dumb. Okay, all that stuff may be true. People believe this.
But, you know, I was reading something the other day about World War II. Mm-hmm. When the Americans liberated Dachau, mm-hmm, after World War II, after the Holocaust, yes. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, take pictures of these concentration, yes, camps, because years will go by and people will not believe this happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this administration does not really like somebody like Don Lemon, who has a camera, mm-hmm, who has a position like we do in a way, to speak to the people and tell them, yeah, what really is going on. God bless.
We're comparing Don Lemon storming a church to chronicling the horrors of the Holocaust? That's crazy. That's bonkers. That wine mom at home believes it. Here's a great headline from the Free Beacon. Wes Moore, he's the governor of Maryland. Wes Moore says the KKK chased his great-grandfather out of South Carolina. Historical records tell a different story. Yeah, his great-granddad, they just went to Jamaica. Why? Because a Jamaican pastor had died unexpectedly, and he was just going to take over the church. He just made the whole thing up. Just lied. They lie about everything all the time. I bet you didn't know. My family didn't know. That's my fault, apparently. My family didn't know that the story of Rosa Parks was a liar. Speaking of Black History, a lie. Speaking of Black History Month, did you know that? Did you think that Rosa Parks was a saintly black woman minding her own business? Just wanted to get home that day and got sent to the back of the bus. Is that what you believe? If you do, don't think you're in the minority. That's the vast majority of Americans. Yeah, you know she was just a commie activist? You can go look it up. She belonged to all kinds of communist organizations. The whole thing was an op. It was an op, and an op that is so successful that outright lies about it are told to this day. These people, they just lie about everything all the time. It's like breathing for them. They just lie about everything all the time. And the end result of it is large quantities of people in our society believe things that just aren't real. And that is so exasperating for normal people who know the truth. It's like when you talk to them, you're dealing with a different species and you have to, instead of sitting down and having a logical conversation, it's almost like there's this super tight knot, and having a conversation is actually you trying to pick at the knot and untie it. Isn't it exhausting? It's not like you're having a nice back and forth. It's like you have to try to spend so much time knocking down this lie that they absolutely believe, and that lie that they absolutely believe, and then that lie that they, and then finally it's tempting, and I've done this, I admit it. It's tempting to just wash your hands of it and just, you know what? I'm done. I can't destroy your entire worldview. It's going to take too much of my time. If you actually believe that Donald Trump told people to inject themselves with bleach, I can't do anything else for you. I can't. They just lie. This was Nicole Wallace. This is a long time ago, but another one of these doozies. Almost all of the political violence in the United States of America is committed by communists against people on the right. Assassinations, assassination attempts, assaults, all these things. There is virtually... Did you know this? Here's two things for you. Did you know there are virtually no documented cases of a Republican assaulting somebody on the left for their political views? Did you know that there are almost no cases of a white person assaulting a black person for their race? Did you know that? That doesn't happen anymore in the United States of America at all. Gone completely. This is Nicole Wallace.
The permission structure for violence. You've got polls about political violence. Democrats don't think it's a good idea. Only Republicans. Only people inclined to consume conservative media are now, I think, upward of 50% say that if necessary, violence is okay. You've only got the conduct on one of the two sides.
They just... lie. It's like they breathe. Let's do some emails. Jesse, I'm impressed by your understanding of the communist mentality. I'm curious where you got this insight from. Your dad, your love of history, etc. I'm about your age, and their mindset is very difficult for me to understand. Growing up in the 80s, being very much warned about the impacts of communism repeatedly, I never gained a deep understanding of the mindset of the communist ideology like you have. The struggle to understand how they think makes your show extremely helpful, makes their actions more predictable. I love the show. Keep helping us understand how the communist brain works because it's so foreign to me, says I can use his name. His name is Jack. It's probably a combination of things. My love of history helps. It really helps, to be honest with you, if you just read what they write. Well, here, I'll explain this. This is just one example of understanding them. Race communism, since that comes up a lot. Dividing people by race and convincing this group that that group has oppressed them and whatnot. It's very common to think that only applies to America with the fake civil rights movement that exists today. The fake this, I'm black, I'm oppressed, all that crap. It's very common to think that that only exists in America. Mao used that all the time. The Soviets used that all the time. In Cambodia, all the time. It was always, you people are oppressed and those people are oppressed. So if you understand that they really always use and have always used the exact same tactics, then you can recognize those tactics in America. I bring up foundational truths to you a lot, where you have to understand this in order to understand everything else. Once you understand some of those foundational truths, then you'll begin to understand what the communists are doing and why they're doing it and why they're saying it. It's not that you have to pick people's brains apart. For instance, what I just brought up, that they're lying about everything all the time, and they're lying to keep people trapped in a world of make-believe, you will stop being confused by your liberal Aunt Peggy when you understand that. She is either A, one of the liars, or B, one of the morons who believes the lies. And so you can bang your head against the wall and try to untie that knot all day long, or you can just understand she's insane. Do some more emails. Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So speaking of foundational truths, here's actually a good example, courtesy of the vice president. I'm really trying very, very hard not to like the vice president as much as I do like the vice president. You know my thoughts on politicians. And my thoughts aren't going to change for him, but man, I have high hopes for J.D. Vance. I just do. Foundational truths. When you find yourself in a situation where you are maybe arguing with a communist, with a liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, whoever that person is in your life, understand that they're trying to box you in when they make their arguments, and they learn this. They're trying to, when I say box you in, they can't have you arguing for the truth, exposing the truth, or their entire world of lies comes apart. So what do they do? You know what a moat is? You ever heard of a moat? A moat, in case you don't know, maybe you weren't a kid who studied these things. A moat is something that exists around the outside of a castle or a fort. I've actually been in one time. It was one in, where was it? Austria, old fort. A moat, most people think they're always full of water and alligators, but that's not necessarily true. Sometimes it's just a big ditch, a huge ditch that has been dug around the outside of the walls. What is the idea? The idea is get the enemy bogged down before he ever touches your walls, because if he touches your walls, then he can climb them, he can batter them down. But if you trap him in some way in the moat, you get him bogged down in the moat, then he never gets to batter down your walls and batter down your gates. You make the moat to make sure he can't ever touch the walls. Communists, when they argue, they will do this to you rhetorically. They will try to get you bogged down on something so you don't ever get to touch the walls. You don't ever get to the truth. And low-T dork losers in the Republican Party have fallen for this for ages. They have been interviewed by communists. They allow the communists to frame the argument in such a way that they never actually get to the truth of the matter, and it's designed to be that way. This is very short, but I want you to listen to this. This is about that communist, that street animal who got killed in Minneapolis, the guy who was kicking agents' cars and screaming at them and all those other things, Preddy, the Preddy guy who died. Listen to how the journalist frames the question.
Should you plan to apologize to the family of Alex Preddy?
For what?
For, you know, labeling him an assassin with ill intent.
Well, again, I just describe to you what I said about Alex Preddy, which is that he's a guy who showed up with ill intent to an ICE protest.
No, but if it's determined that his civil rights were violated by this FBI investigation, will you apologize to that?
So if this hypothetical leads to that hypothetical leads to another hypothetical,
it's a real case,
will I
open.
Do a thing?
That reporter obviously is a communist. That's not a reporter. That's an apparatchik. An apparatchik who has been trained to do what? To keep the enemy in the moat. That reporter can't have a conversation with the vice president and have the conversation turn into, wait a minute, he was a paid street animal? Okay, who's doing the paying? Should we go down that rabbit hole? Who's doing the paying? Who conducts the training? Where does all the money come from? How prevalent is all this? The reporter cannot have the conversation go that way. He's only got a limited amount of time. And because he himself has received communist training, the reporter understands, keep J.D. Vance in the moat. Keep him in the moat. They used to do this to Donald Trump all the time, very successfully in the first term. Trump is way better about it the second term. Very successfully, that we keep Donald Trump in the moat. Chris, grab this if we have it. If not, that's totally fine. How would they do this? They always asked him about white supremacy. Always. So you denounce white supremacists, right? Because a lot of people are saying you're a white supremacist. There are a lot of Nazis. The people are saying it. You do denounce it? Do you denounce it? And you would see Trump so exasperated because he couldn't get out of the moat. He wants to talk about something else. He wanted to talk about real issues facing the country. He wanted to talk about this or that or the border or anything. But the communist-trained reporters knew they could keep him in the moat. Here it was.
You have repeatedly criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you prepared
I'm willing
to specifically
do, that, but do it?
Well,
I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and right
wing. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right
wing. Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Listen, now exasperated and frustrated. He doesn't do that anymore. He's much, much better at it now. They're trying to trap you in that moat. When you argue with the communist in your life, they do this to you. Do not allow them to reframe it. Do not allow them to keep you off the walls. It's something they learn. All right? All right. Before we talk to Brandon Darby about the cartels, I'm going to talk to you about waking up every day in pain. Doesn't that suck? It's freaking terrible. And your body, God didn't make these bodies to last forever, and they're not supposed to. Things start to hurt because things get inflamed. What if you could get rid of that inflammation? Not a temporary fix for a couple hours because you grabbed the right pill bottle. What if you could make it disappear from your life? Relief Factor is here to make it disappear from your life. All you have to do is try it. If Relief Factor doesn't work for you, it's just a supplement, it's drug-free. If it does not work for you, don't order any more. You're not out anything but the $19.95 you paid for the 3 weeks of it. Every day for 3 weeks, you take it. Tell me how you feel. I love that you love it. I love your emails about it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We talk to Brandon Darby next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. Remember, you can download any part of the show you'd like on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I don't know why I can't talk. Shut up, Chris. Anyway, I have wonderful news. The Mexican cartels have been defeated. They are no more. No more drug and human trafficking. And I know this because there's no more headlines right now. Surely they're all gone. Joining me now, Brandon Darby of the Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart. If you're not reading Brandon Darby, you probably think what I just said is true. Brandon, are the cartels all gone? Why don't I see them in the news?
No, they're not all gone. You don't see them in the news because, the left doesn't like to write about cartels, never have, and a lot of the outlets on the right don't want to write about cartels because it shows that there's something that is not happening in the Trump administration. I think that the Trump administration probably will deliver some pretty heavy blows to the right Mexican cartels. So far, they've delivered some heavy blows to lower level cartels, but the main cartel in Mexico, Cartel Jalisco, going strong. Mexico is protecting, El Bicho, the boss, and they keep handing over all types of different people to show that they're cooperating with Trump, and but they're protecting the main cartel. So that's what's going on, buddy.
Okay, so this El Mencho, you've discussed him with us before. The Trump administration is not stupid. They're obviously aware of this guy. Why? How is he still getting a free pass?
Well, because their only way they're going to get him is if they take action outside of the permission of Mexico. So, we're in a situation where Mexico will not. This guy is compadres very close to the current Secretary of Defense. And Mexico probably couldn't hand him over if they wanted to at this point, but they don't want to because too many of them get paid by him. Too many of Mexico's leadership and elite get stipends from him. They get paid. So what's going to have to happen is the United States is going to have to act unilaterally. A couple of times that the U.S. has found him and located him and tried to include Mexican partners, he was tipped off before, even at the highest levels, he was tipped off. Several months ago, he was I don't want to get too much into this because I'm writing about it, but several months ago, he was, an elite group in Mexico who operates kind of autonomously, legally, but autonomously, tried to get him. And they almost did get him, and the Mexican army came to his rescue and detained the team of law enforcement who were trying to get him until he got away, right? So that's the level of protection that this guy has. And the only way that this is going to happen is if the United States, treats Mexico like what it is, which is a fragile narco state, right? That runs parallel with drug cartels. It is a cartel connected government, a narco state to be exact. And the United States is going to have to ruffle some very serious feathers to do something about this guy. But I think that the United States will. I questioned it until Venezuela happened, and then I said, okay, this guy has giant breath gonads. I think we're on the radio, so I'll say that. And I think that this guy, we're still not halfway there, so let's see what this guy has to do. But I think that there's a significant chance that before this administration is over, we see strikes in Mexico at a remote area in Michoacan or Jalisco. Yeah.
Speaking with Brandon Darby of Breitbart. Brandon, I'm going to ask a question, and I know it may be a stupid question, but we're friends, so you're not going to be surprised by that. Occasionally when we talk about hitting cartels, the government hitting cartel members, you will hear people say that the cartels have the ability to hit us here, because obviously they have people here in the United States of America. That's not surprising to anybody who knows it, but that has not happened thus far. Is that something that would concern you, that does concern you? Is that something you think they would do?
Okay, so that's actually a complex question, and it's important to recognize like the different parts of that, okay? So cartels, Mexican cartels and other cartels have absolutely killed people in our country, verifiably. There's a book written by a wonderful Air Force captain named Sylvia Longmire, who helped start our Breitbart border project. And she details, a large number of murders and beheadings that have happened in the United States. So they do in fact take action in our country. They've kidnapped people from our country. They've killed people in our country. But would they take action like blow up a shopping mall, or would they take action like, attack an army base in the United States? No, I don't think that they would do that. I don't think so. And I was kind of questioning that, but you have to understand, because of the U.S. position and posture, Mexico is handing over a lot of people, but they're the right people for a number of cartels we've gone after, Los Zetas, the Gulf Cartel. That's awesome. But they're doing so and saying, look, we work with you, but they're protecting the main cartel, the main person responsible for cocaine, fentanyl in this country, and I would say heroin in most of this country. They are protecting that person, right? They are protecting that organization. And so the U.S. demands that you work with us, they're actually using it to use official government power in Mexico and military power to take out the rivals of this cartel that they are protecting, right? But no, I think that if the U.S., if some strategically placed, cruise missiles, God El Mincho, I do not believe that they're going to take action in the sense of, some major military push or major terroristic act in the United States. But I do think that as they get more and more desperate, what happens is, we've talked about this before, what happens is you take out the head and then there's there's people with less wisdom who have less interest in long-term profit sustainability who take over. And those people are the ones that we have to, increase risk to our law enforcement, increase risk to our journalists who cover Mexico and so forth. But no, I don't think they're going to, do some major push and try to take over territory or something. Do I think that people like me could have problems or are more likely to have problems right now? Yes. Do I think that, people, like government officials in the U.S.? No, I don't think so.
Speaking with Brandon Darby. Brandon, you got one more quick segment for us? I have a couple other things I want to ask you.
Plenty. I can do 20 more if you were.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to be right back. I'm going to break a little bit early. We're going to be right back with Brandon Darby, talk some more cartel stuff. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Don't forget it. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are back with Brandon Darby of Breitbart Cartel Chronicles. Okay, Brandon, a couple things. The cartels being intertwined in these narco states, which you've educated us on so many times before, can you speak to that in a little bit more depth about how woven in they are to the community? Because it's perfectly natural to think about them as if they're in some tiny warehouse outside of town surrounded by machine guns and that's the only way that works. Can you speak to that?
There's various levels to that. We talk about woven into the community. So on the highest levels of industry, there's narco involvement. On the highest levels of government, there's narco involvement. And by narco involvement, I mean, it's safe to say that, now, this is how it always happens in Mexico. Every time a president leaves, just about, then we find out all of the information about the president's, how much money the president took from a specific narco organization, a specific transnational criminal group we call cartels in Mexico. Spends every time. Now that information and intelligence on AMLO, the previous president, is coming out. And in a few years, all of that information will come out about the current president, Sheinbaum. That's how it works, right? That's so on that level, yes. But on the far opposite side of society, there are communities that have been ignored. Something that, Steve Bannon used to say to me when he was my boss at Breitbart, is we would talk about the Pope, and he would say, the last Pope, and he would say, well, you need to understand that Pope saw a very abusive form of capitalism, right? And I used to disagree with him, and I would think about that, but as time has gone on, I've realized he was actually right. And that's what they have there. They it's not a free market. It's a free market for some people, but not for everyone, right? So you have a complete lack of social mobility And you have these very poor communities that have been completely ignored. They don't have health care. They don't have access to health care, education. They don't have access to consistent electricity. They don't, I mean, very, very impoverished, right? Very different than what you would see in the fancy areas of Mexico City, okay? And where it resembles the United States. But they've been very neglected, you know, these large segments of the population. And then here's some guy, he's a drug dealer, you know, he's putting drugs into the U.S., which most of the people there think that we took half of their territory anyway. So there's some, already some resentment. We have more than they do. There's already some resentment and some hard feelings. And these guys go, hey, you know what? I'm going to get a couple doctors to move here. And I'm going to kind of like the Hamas model, right? The Hamas model. Like, why do a lot of people in Gaza hate Israelis and Jews? Yes. But if Hamas didn't provide the health care, the education, and the social services, and help the elderly, and would those people be as supportive of Hamas? No, they would not. They would not. And you know, regardless of their views on Jews or Israel, and that's what these guys do. You know, they're the only thing available to a lot of communities. And so you have to acknowledge or recognize that when you're trying to deal with this problem, that in the long term, you know, in the short term, it is so bad, you have to take the tumor out, right? You have to take the tumor out. But that doesn't mean that once you take the tumor out that the system is going to be healthy, that the body is healthy. No, there's a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work, a lot of effort. You know, if we're funding condoms and HIV awareness and all types of, you know, trans whatever we were funding in Botswana or wherever the hell in Africa, like you know, I'm okay with, you know, America first doesn't mean America only to me, right? So when I look at our neighbors being healthy and okay, I'm okay with a little bit of our tax dollars participating in that, right? I'm okay with that because that's our neighbor and it affects us, right? If they're sick, we're sick. So if we take out a cartel head, as we've already taken out a bunch, but if we go all the way and do the full Monty with El Bicho, that's good for a while. But eventually, unless we also work on the other issues that affect Mexico, it's just a matter of time until there's another El Bicho, right? So it's a great complex question you asked, but I hope that explains, you know, my position to touch on the short term and the long term, but just you know, what the Democrats have tried to do and a lot of Republicans have tried to do, which is to treat Mexico as though it's an equal, to treat Mexico as though we're dealing with a Western European power or Canada and not as it's a fragile narco state. They just want to do those long term projects and they don't realize that it does no good because there is that massive throbbing tumor, right? In Mexico. So we have to take the tumor out and then start worrying about the systemic health of it.
Brandon, I've only got a couple minutes left here. Would you ever vacation in Mexico City? I had some friends that did, and they said the food was amazing, but I don't know, this part of me can't go to Mexico City. Should I vacation there?
No, you shouldn't. And you really should not. I definitely should not. You know, keep in mind there's no, and this is what I tell my friends and my loved ones. I said, look, there are really serious people there who have access to flight manifests, right? Who 100% know who I am and know what I do. So if some Mexican cartel kidnaps you in Texas and takes you at the mall, and I will die trying to get you back. But if you're dumb enough, being my, you know, my relative, to go to Mexico for a vacation and they take you, they're going to contact me and say, turn yourself in and we'll let them go. I'm not turning myself in for you if you're stupid enough to go put yourself in that situation. Do not do it, right? Just do not do it. So would you be okay in some areas of Mexico? Yes. Would Joe Blow be okay? Probably. Would Brandon Darby or Ildefonso Ortiz be okay? Very unlikely.
Dang it. I got to stop talking to you. Now I can't go to Mexico City. This is a disaster. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to go anywhere. I'll go somewhere else. We have Taco Bell here. Brandon Darby, Breitbart, go read all of his stuff if you want to nerd out on this stuff. As always, brother, I appreciate you very much. Chris, did I tell you? Over the years, I've matured. And don't make that face. I've grown to love the Nachos Bel Grande. No, I take the sour cream off. But I used to be gordita, especially the cheesy gordita crunches. Quesadilla man. I still am. I don't want to act like I've left that part of me behind. Nachos Bel Grande hits right sometimes. I'm telling you, man. You know what? That's what we're getting tonight. Anyway, we still have so much more. Another hour. Hang on.